Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. With the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a fabulous service department that backs it all up with great technicians at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. We'll get it started today. We've got a lot going on today with Ray Roundtree and Neil Coolong and Scott Fransky. But we need to go down. For some, they would prefer to go down the yellow brick road. Others take a turn to the house of bitterness.
I thought you were going to go with the Wicked Witch of the West Castle.
No, we're not going to do that.
And follow the Winkies. But anyway.
It's so low. Wow.
Well, you know who's low, though, right now? It's the NBA. Now, I get it that Nikola Jokic only got fined $25,000. Now, that's like a slap on... That's like being fined, like, $25 into the NBA players. But still, a fine's a fine, a punishment's a punishment. And there was one given to Jokic, but none given to Matashiba, the Phoenix Suns owner. I don't care what the punishment was, Grado. The fact of the matter is, the Suns owner, who deliberately grabbed the basketball away from Jokic to try and affect the game, and then did the flop when Jokic tried to take the ball from him as if he tried to shove him, and he doesn't get a thing for that? Not even at least a fine? I mean, what are we doing, Adam Silver? I thought we were about protecting players. But maybe we're not anymore. Especially when it comes to having fans and owners, whoever, close to the court and trying to protect the players. And this has gone out of hand this entire season, during the regular season and now during the playoffs. I mean, something's got to be done. He had a chance to do it, to lay the hammer down, and he didn't do it. I don't understand. I don't care if it was only $25,000 for Jokic. The fact of the matter is, that owner for the Suns should have been punished, at least with a hefty fine, if not a suspension, and he didn't get anything. I don't get it. I really don't get it.
Maybe he doesn't have the money.
Oh, my almighty!
I mean, I'm sorry. That's a disgrace.
Well, maybe there's one coming at a later time.
I mean, what does that say to fans that, oh, well, I can go in and affect the game, and I can at least see a player maybe get fined or suspended? That's what you're telling fans that sit courtside. It doesn't really matter what you do. If the player gets involved, if you provoke the player to get involved, that player is going to face some sort of punishment, and maybe fans might try to purposefully do that to try to affect the game if they don't like a certain player or they want a certain player out in a series such as this. That's what the NBA just told everybody who goes to be a courtside, who gets a courtside seat now. They've set a dangerous precedent.
Well, maybe they'll announce that at a later date.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I don't know. Well, to me, the big story of the day is the story out of Iowa.
Oh, yeah. This is not good either. This is also becoming a problem quickly in college athletics.
Well, this is... let's start with this. Don't sit there as a fan and start throwing stones. Don't sit there as a fan and go, oh, Kirk Ferentz, oh, Fran McCaffrey, oh, Tom Brands. No. Okay? This is an issue that scares every athletic department across the country. And it scares all. Where, let's remember what the rules are different for different sports, groupings, whatever. Well, here's the NCAA rule. You are not allowed to bet on any sport at any level that the NCAA has a championship in. So you may be running track and field, and you decide you want to put money on the Vikings-Packers game. Well, the NCAA sponsors football. Can't do it. You may be playing on the women's basketball team, and you want to put money on the Cubs-Cardinals game. Can't do it. NCAA sponsors baseball. Yeah, but it's the pros. Nope, can't do it. The story on Iowa and Iowa State, by the way. At Iowa, it's 101 individuals. And 26 of them happen to be student athletes. They say there is no activity that they can see to this point that is suspicious where they bet on anything Iowa was involved in. But they are potentially in violation of NCAA rules. Iowa State acknowledged 15 of its athletes across three sports, football, wrestling, track, and field, are suspected of violating gambling rules. At Iowa, it is 26 across five sports, baseball, football, men's basketball, men's track and field, and wrestling. There's also one full-time employee of the athletic department that is suspected of wagering on sports, which is a violation of NCAA rules. Now, remember, all this comes after Alabama fired baseball coach Brad Bohannon. And we went through that last week about the suspicious betting activity around the Alabama 8-6 loss to LSU on April 28th. That's one where the sportsbook surveillance video indicated that the person who placed the bets was communicating with Bohannon at the time. The investigation to that is still continuing. Iowa said university leadership was notified on May 2nd of potential criminal conduct related to sports wagering that also suggested possible NCAA violations. Law enforcement last Wednesday provided the university with a list of individuals alleged to have participated in sports wagering. The only reason that it came up, that it got out, was there was an Iowa baseball player who was inexplicably not in the lineup. And that's when it came out that this was an issue. So the Iowa Gaming Commission has decided that they are going to investigate Iowa Athletics because the university is now withholding these athletes from competition. There's an ongoing investigation into these matters. We're unable to comment further at this time, said the Iowa Gaming Commission in a statement. The commission takes the integrity of gaming in the state seriously and is continuing to monitor the situation and will provide any additional information when able. But again, there is no evidence of match fixing or any suspicious wagering activity. But you are not allowed to bet on a sport at any level that the NCAA sponsors. And I don't want to hear about, well, they don't sponsor football. They sponsor FCS football. So they sponsor football. Now, we can't tell on the men's basketball, wrestling, and football side which athletes could potentially be involved. They're not playing or even practicing right now. Basketball practices and kick back up until about, I don't know, June 2, 3, something like that. And of course, football, not again until obviously the first week of August. So unless somebody leaks something, we're not going to know the names of the individuals that are potentially involved or allegedly involved. Again, you cannot bet on amateur, collegiate, or professional sports in which the NCAA conducts a championship. So, you're in track and field, can't bet on an NFL game. You're in track and field, you can't bet on an NBA game. You're in track and field, and you can't bet on the NCAA swimming championship, whatever it may be. Okay. Iowa said it received information about 111 individuals. 26 are current athletes. School said the vast majority are students who are on staff. Former athletes are those with no connection to the athletic department. But again, 26 are. That's the issue. 26 are. This is an issue that scares every athletic department. You have 33 states plus the District of Columbia now that allow sportsbook. And I know that there'll be some that will say, for example, they're considering putting a casino over at the Nittany Mall, which would include sportsbook. And they go, oh, that won't, you know, help out. It's irrelevant. You want to know why it's irrelevant? Because you can do all this stuff online. I mean, what was the issue? What was the issue with the Detroit Lions with the two players, including Jameis and Williams, who got suspended for 6 games? They were suspended for 6 games for placing bets in the locker room. Yeah, you're not allowed. They were in the Allen. Well, I don't know if they're in the locker room. You're guessing, but the Allen Park facility, which is the home of the Detroit Lions, if you go across the street to the 7-Eleven, you can place the wager. But if you place the wager inside the facility, you get suspended 6 games. Well, do you think there is a casino inside the facility? No, you do it. They did it online. So what does it matter if there's a casino? It doesn't matter. I know this is something I've talked to my class about repeatedly, and I just do it under the guise of, good guys, let's just talk here for a second. And if you don't want to participate and keep whatever to yourself, go ahead. I said, so just a show of hands for those willing to participate, how many have placed bets on sporting events? And I usually get about half to two-thirds of the class putting their hands up. Okay? Now, this is from the instructor who's never placed a bet on anything in his life. And now, I said, look, it's your money. It's legal in this state. You want to do shows on it? Great. You want to do shows on point spreads? Great. I said, it's all legal. I said, but my only advice, and it's only advice, is don't place wagers on games that you are covering because I feel it will taint your coverage of it. And this is something that I've talked about as an issue on shows such as these, or on Instagram, or message boards, or Twitter. I feel like I always question when I hear about vitriol toward players or coaches after a loss. or even after a win. Even after a win. I always wonder, just as an open question, I wonder if they have money on the game. Because then it becomes exponentially more personal. Well, now you have this. And this, look, and again, they're not alleged to have wagered on the sports they're participating in terms of, like, the games they're participating in. But who knows when it comes to, like, okay, I'm going to put a wager down on something. You know, who knows what their buddies are doing. And it's something that every coach and every athletic director is scared about across the country. Because you can't control it. You can't control it. You can't be around them every second. Can't follow them around. So, I mean, don't sit there and go, well, if Iowa had better, nothing to do with that. You can't be with them every second. You can't do that. Gary Barta, the athletic director, you can't run around and check in on everybody. I mean, you know, Kirk Ferentz and Fran McCaffrey and Tom Brands, they can't do that. They can't, you know, they get a max amount of time during the week. There's some point you got to let them go. And you as parents out there know that as well as anyone. All right, we'll take a break. It's legal, but it doesn't mean that there aren't scary consequences that you worry about. Well, this is one that I was worried about, and this is a week removed from what happened in Alabama. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could chop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, Ray Roundtree next half hour. Neil Kulong, 406. Scott Fransky, 445. Might be able to squeeze in another rant.
We'll see.
Oh, you're far from done. Come on. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. For Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Fabulous service department that backs it all up with really great technicians that get the job done. It sounds like, by the way, before we get to Ray Roundtree here, it sounds like your Eagles will play the Chiefs in week two.
Correct. And that was broken by Mama Kelsey. I guess Donna Kelsey posted that on her Facebook page today, and she broke a couple other Chiefs games for this year.
If, to be honest with you, if it isn't true, she'll be sitting in an empty stadium.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, sorry, I might bring that up. All right. Time to bring in one of the greats, Ray Roundtree, here at Penn State. If I recall, he was one of the first guys at Penn State to go to a single-digit number. I'm doing that off the top of my head. Ray, welcome. Yay or nay on that? I think Matt quit. That's not a good thing. Mid-show? I worry about that stuff. I think he's trying to hook up with Ray here, right?
Okay, we got him now.
We got him? Good. If I remember correctly, Ray, you were one of the first players, if not the first player, to go from a double-digit number, which I think your original number was like 86 or something like that, and wore six.
You know, I think our class, my freshman year, was the first year that Penn State introduced the single-digit number.
Yeah.
Okay. So we were all excited. And I don't think we had much of a choice because, of course, the upperclassmen had the first say. Right. So I think it was a default thing more so than it was a chosen direction.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder who was setting the rules back then. I'm trying to think now.
You know, I'm trying to remember that guy's name. It doesn't come to mind right now, but maybe it'll come back at some point during the conversation.
Like during practice, like would his voice get a little higher? Yeah, okay.
You know, it all depended on the level of intensity at the time, but there was a tendency for him to get a little bit excited about a few things.
Yeah,
and I probably gave him a few too many things to get excited about over my career. So.
I don't know. Not you. You were pretty darn good. All I know, I felt you were as precise gets. I mean, at least that was my opinion watching you play.
Well, thanks. It's nice to know that I could hide all those deficiencies. So it makes me feel much better.
Oh. I do that every Saturday with Jack Ham. What are you talking about? All right, so.
Hey, you're safe to say that now.
Yeah, that's right. I want to quickly talk about your current role, and then I want to ask you a couple of quick questions about your great years here. You're doing a lot right now with Comcast Xfinity. And you're doing a lot with your network expansion right now, especially with the 10G network. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. I mean, we're excited. One, you think about just the being able to help close the digital divide is an incredible opportunity and something that we're tremendously focused on. But when you think about our 10G network, really, in our expansion into a lot of areas, and a lot of areas that your listeners are being serviced in on a daily basis. And there's really three ways that's happening. One, you know, we're expanding our network in the areas that we may have missed or new developments through our simple extensions of our network. And this could be a network that's been newly developed and newly started, new construction homes, and we have to go back and fill in the blank. And we've got a lot of those in State College and Liberty Township. The second area is really how do we expand on projects on a much greater scale in places like Gregg Township, and we have a lot of work going on there. We're looking to have some of that completed here this year. So there's a tremendous amount of focus on our team and making sure that we provide our great services in those areas. And lastly, which is an area that we're also very excited about, is that we we've successfully bid for over $4.5 million in state funding to help us expand in a number of places, including residential homes and businesses in places like Liberty, Curtin, and Rush Township. So really bringing that 10G experience to all of these places that help us really provide service in those unserved and underserved areas that we've grown accustomed to. And that's exciting, right. In terms of what we've been able to do.
And that's something that's talked about all the time. They talk about all the time about making sure that the ability to get Wi-Fi, the ability to get Ethernet connections into rural areas is so it makes such a big difference for youth, Ray.
Absolutely. It's our youth. It's for educational purposes. It's for our veterans that may, you know, you think about the opportunity that we can come in and provide that Wi-Fi experience. So situations where you had to get in your vehicle, find transportation to get medical advice and knowledge, you're able to bring that into the home. So it's exciting to be able to do that. But you're hit the nail on the head in terms of the educational experiences that provide. Just think about this world we live in today and trying to conduct business or research or find information without the internet. And we've got our kids and children in some of these rural areas that are driving miles to find that closest McDonald's or some place that they can connect just to do tasks that we take for granted on a day-to-day basis. So very excited about that. And another way that we're really trying to close that divide is what we call some of our lift zones. And that's where we go into communities and provide Wi-Fi service. And we've done that in three areas in your area, in Bellefonte Youth Center, in our Borough Street Youth Center in State College, and our Stormbreak Girls Group Home in State College. So those are areas where we're going on. We're providing these safe spaces for people to connect to Wi-Fi service so they can just do the things that we take for granted on a day-to-day basis.
I mean, this is digital equity is what it is. I mean, that's what you're doing.
Absolutely, 100%.
You come out of Aiken, South Carolina. What was it that made you say, you know what, Penn State's my place?
You know, I think it was a couple of things. You know, I had a couple of visits, and it came down to a few schools. But I think the difference for me was you had to choose that place that you just felt most comfortable. And when I stepped on campus, it wasn't flashy. I wasn't set up in a five-star hotel. I was in the dorm with the likes of, you know, paired me up with DJ Dozier and Tim Johnson, and just great guys. It was just that you feel comfortable. You feel like these are the type of individuals that on a day-to-day basis, regardless if it's football, it's school, or in the neighborhood, these are the types of individuals that you wanted to be associated with. And it goes without saying, the great university, great opportunity to get a top-notch education and play for one of the premier programs in the country.
And you were able to play in two national championship games during that, the tough one in the Orange Bowl, obviously, after an 11-0, but then winning the whole thing in 86 and beating Miami. There were a lot of big games during that season. You had a big game against Alabama. You had a big game, I recall, against Notre Dame. But you got to the championship game, and the world told you you couldn't win. What was it that allowed you to win?
I think, one, you look at the character of the team that we had that year. You had just some outstanding leaders, Shane Conlin on defense, DJ Dozier, John Schaefer. So I think it started with just a tremendous group of leaders that we had that gave us the belief that anything is possible, and a coaching staff that, you know, you give them 3 to 4 weeks to prepare. They were going to put together a game plan that second to none. I think we had a great coaching staff. And then ability, I mean, the thing we lose sight of is just the talent that we also had on that team and being able to bring together. We had a group of guys that really believed in each other, that was willing to trust the system, the process, the game plan that we put together. And boy, I mean, it's one of those things that on that particular day, you know, everything just came together.
It sure did on that particular day. It's one of the truly proud moments in the history of the program. If I recall correctly, the day before the game, you were scheduled to have a practice on New Year's Day, and Joe said you guys are ready and called it off. If I believe that's the story, and should that be the story, what kind of confidence did that instill in you when he did that?
You know, again, we had such, you know, belief in our coaching staff. And the thing about it is that they truly understood the team and when to push us, when to pull back. And having that trust in them, you just, you know, it gave you a tremendous amount of belief that every Saturday when you lace them up, you're going to put yourself in a position to win. Now, I tell people today, you know, we may not have won all the games, but I never went into a game with the feeling that I wasn't prepared, that we saw something that was different, that we hadn't practiced for, or just caught us off guard. Now, that didn't mean we won every game, but I can tell you there's the preparation that went into getting us ready to lace them up on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening. You knew that you're going to be put in a position to be successful. And I think just even going through the preparation for the Fiesta Bowl, I think everyone felt the same way.
Ray, what did that experience of Penn State football and how the program was won, what are some elements that you carry today from that experience that allows you to do the job you're doing for Xfinity and Comcast?
You know, I think there's a couple of things. I tell folks today, I think sports is just one of those unbelievable things that give you an opportunity when it comes to leadership skills, when it comes to overcoming adversity, when you get knocked down, how quickly can you get up? But one of the things that I think you learn that probably goes overlooked is how to take feedback in the business world. Because you can imagine, you talked about the level of intensity that our coaching staff has. When you come to that sideline, oh, by the way, you may get some feedback, whether good or bad. You may be putting yourself in a position of feeling that. How you're able to take that and respond on the moment, be able to pivot and change direction when the things in your business climate goes a different way than you anticipated, just to be able to anticipate those things. And when you see them, not looking backwards, but starting to look forward. I often use the example, when you go to the line of scrimmage and John Schiffer gets there and he looks at the defense and he calls an audible. You know, he's seeing something that maybe from your vantage point you don't see, but how can he put us in the best position on offense to be successful? And I think going into the business climate, you know, you see those opportunities every day. Instead of wasting time thinking about what happened yesterday, how do we look forward to the next play, the next opportunity for us to be the most successful that we can be?
I had a great breakfast with John before the Rutgers game in November. Final question for you. What you're involved in is really a team, and you ran through everything that's going on with the critical areas of focus for Central and Eastern Pennsylvania with Xfinity 10G and so forth. What is it like for you to have that kind of team around you, considering you've always been a part of something that is a team?
Yeah, it's a tremendous feeling. I tell you, we've got some incredible people that work here in the Keystone region. Now, the things I like about it is, one, you still have that entrepreneurial spirit. But every day you get up and we go to work every day with a sense that we can make a difference. And then have the opportunity to be a part of an incredible company that you have an opportunity to deliver tremendous products and services that are high quality. But more importantly, we started the conversation. You're helping to solve the digital divide. And that means so much for so many people in our communities that we serve. And then be able to participate and give back. You know, that's one of the things that I loved about my time at Penn State was always talking about, hey, how do we give back and appreciate the moment and appreciate the fact that, you know, 80,000, 100,000 people show up to see you. You've got to be able to put your best foot forward on a daily basis, make sure that you're doing everything to be prepared and doing everything to represent the company well. And the things that we take pride of is making sure that we represent Comcast Xfinity well in terms of being able to participate and get engaged in the communities that we service as well.
Ray, you're one of the many that make the place proud, and we appreciate the time you gave us today. It was great catching up with you.
Thank you. Thank you and your listeners. I greatly appreciate it, and I'll see you in Happy Valley on Saturday afternoon.
Looking forward to it, Ray. Thanks so much. He's one of the greats.
Take care.
He's one of the greats here, Ray Roundtree, We'll come back with more in a moment. Neil Coulong next half hour. Scott Fransky final half hour. And Matt on a rant roll anytime. You never know when on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have Ray Roundtree on the show. Neil Coulong next half hour. Scott Fransky final 15 minutes. All right, go ahead. What's next?
Well, going into the game tonight for the Sixers, Doc Rivers has finally said, I'm going to keep the rotations tight tonight. Oh, good for you, Doc. That should have been done, I don't know, like toward the end, sometime during the regular season, first four games of this series, maybe during the Brooklyn Nets series. Maybe during your entire tenure. I hope you stick with it tonight, because everybody that needs to be on the floor needs to be on the floor for the entire game tonight, or most of it, if you're going to win Game 5 tonight.
Well, your center's out of shape.
If he vomits on the court, I don't care. Throw him in.
I'm just telling you, he right now, he can't go the distance. I mean, in the fourth quarter, he's wilting right now.
It's up to him to find another level.
Yeah, but he's the MVP. You told me he's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Hey, I criticized him in Game 4. He came up a little small, even though I know we still had 34 and 13. That's nothing to sneeze at. But Al Horford got the best of him. Embiid needs to stop thinking and just go at him. You're 7'2", 280 pounds, for crying out loud. I don't care how good the defender is or what the defender's trying to do. You just impose your will and let everything else get to where it's supposed to be. Because you know what's been lacking in this series for the Sixers? It's gotten a little better, but it's Embiid and Harden getting to the foul line. That's what's supposed to make the Sixers dangerous. Is they can do whatever you want, and it doesn't matter, because if they foul you, well, you just go to the foul line. And Harden and Embiid, to their credit, have done the job making their free throws. That's what they need to do tonight. And P.J. Tucker, if you can maybe, like, actually not be afraid to shoot the basketball, you know, that'd be nice.
You have a lot of complaints.
Listen, P.J. Tucker, he had some good games in the playoffs, in the series against the Nets.
Plays hard.
Yeah, he plays hard. He'll give you your offensive rebounds. You know, I get that. But he's also capable of shooting the basketball. And when those opportunities present himself, he needs to take advantage and shoot the ball.
At this stage of his career, he's a little limited there. So, earlier in his career, maybe. I mean, he can hit some, but I wouldn't bank on it. John Rothstein reporting that Penn State and VCU will have a home-and-home series during the 24-25 season. It's expected to begin in the 24-25 season. They haven't determined yet what games are where, but I believe it's part of the agreement to let Mike coach here, so there you go.
And Bucknell Hoops going back to Cameron Indoor this year.
Good.
That the Bison are going to be part of the Blue Devil Challenge. And it involves LaSalle and Southern Indiana, who just came up to Division I this year, or this past year, I guess. So Bucknell will be at LaSalle on November 14th. Bucknell will be at Duke November 17th. And Southern Indiana will come to Soica on November 20th.
That'll be a sellout. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you know who one of the head coaches of Southern Indiana was way back when? Bruce Pearl.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yep.
All right, little history there.
Yeah. It's what we do. It's a totally, completely worthless. But, I mean, he was the head coach of Southern Indiana for 10 years, you know. 10 years. So, I think of Bruce every time I talk with Deion Thomas, because Bruce was involved in the taping of a phone call when he was at Iowa. And Deion Thomas, one of the nicest guys I've been around.